We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. All right, Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 and 23 are my target verses. These verses occur near the end of the parable that he's teaching on the parable of the talents there. And he had distributed some talents to three different people and told them, go out and do your thing. And two of them have come back and have done well, and one has come back and done poorly. I want to focus on the statement that he makes to both of those that he's pleased with. In verse 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Then he goes on to talk about other things. You look at verse 23, again, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. And he goes on to talk about other things. Both of them get the same recognition. Both of them get acknowledged by the master. Now, for those of you that studied the parable, it's pretty much assumed that the master is either Jesus upon his return or it's going to be God. But somewhere along the line, they give an account for what they have done, and he's pleased with two of them. What is the mission of every congregation in the United States? What is the mission of what is called the Lord's Church? All right. Now, we have summed it up based on Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and following, where Jesus says, go out and make disciples. We're to make disciples. Now, the contemporary church, you're not going to hear make disciples much anymore. What you're going to hear is make Christ followers, or have you become a follower of Jesus. They want to use more contemporary language because the word disciple sounds too churchy. And they're doing a lot of that type of stuff. But Christ follower, to me, there's a lot of people who followed Jesus at a distance but never got involved. But there are people who became disciples of Jesus, they became lifetime commitments. So disciple, to me, as I understand it, is I read what someone has to say, I listen to what someone has to say, I put it into practice what someone has to say, and people will say, hey, you can tell he's been with Jesus. He does everything Jesus would be doing. So our mission is to make disciples. And how we do that is given to us also in Matthew 28, verses 18 and following, where Jesus tells that his disciples, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. So the process of making a disciple is you introduce people to Jesus Christ. You let them know who Jesus is. You don't want them to just know, well, he was a good prophet, he was a good teacher, he was a good man. You just don't want them to know that stuff. You want them to know that he is, in fact, the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe that, you'll live accordingly. If you don't believe that, if it's one of those things you got in the back of your brain, you may or may not feel little guilt twinges every now and then, but you're not really going to be following him. But if you're really committed that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you're going to get on board. You're going to jump on this ship, and you're going to sail with him. And you're going to weather whatever storms he takes you through, and you're going to go through any joys he takes you through, but you're with him every step of the way. Our job is to make disciples. We tell them about Jesus, we baptize them into Jesus, and then we teach everything that he wants taught. How long does it take to complete the disciple process? How long does it take to be exactly like Jesus in every way? How long is it going to take? Okay, I don't care how long you got. From day one, you're trying to be like the Master, trying to be like him in every way possible. The way he wants you to interact with your enemies, the way he wants you to interact with your family, the way he wants you to interact with your neighbors, the way he wants you to go about your job, the way he wants you to go about any relationship you're in. Everything about that is you want to make sure that you're walking in the steps of Jesus. And one day you get it halfway right, and then the next week you're on your knees saying, I'm so sorry for last week. That type of thing. But you're trying. You're working it. Our job is to make disciples. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, the book of Ephesians, it's in that small group of books in the New Testament where you got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, he's coming off a section where the NIV entitles, we have been made alive. We have been made alive in Jesus Christ. People are already living, but no, you're experiencing real life now in Jesus Christ. And as he gets to verse 10, he says here, "For we are God's workmanship." We're like the clay, the lump of clay. And he's doing what to us? He's molding us. We're like the pieces of wood and the sandpaper and the nails and all the stuff that goes with making stuff. We're that stuff, and he's putting us together into the masterpiece he wants us to be. That's who we are. Whatever imagery works well for you, we're his craftsmanship. And he goes on to say, we are God's craftsmanship. We have been created anew. Basically, that's what he's implying. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do what? According to this text in the NIV 1984 version. What's it say? To do good works. If you are a Christian, or if you want to be a Christian, understand this. But if you are a Christian, you have been created to do good works. Well, which works are these that God calls good? And it says here, which God prepared for us in advance to do. God has already pre-planned what good works he wants us to do. And if you read your Bible carefully, especially your Gospels, you're going to learn what those good works are that Jesus Christ wants you to do. And again, they're simple. Overall, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Do good to your fellow man. You see somebody in need, get off your duff and go minister to them. Do what you got to do. Reach out and minister in every direction you can go. So, we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. When we went down into the baptistry, the old man was left behind when the new man was raised up. And the new man has been brought up. Not only have we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, not only have we been placed into the body of the believers of the church, not only have we exchanged our filthy rags of righteousness for new clothes in Christ, not only has all that taken place, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not only has all that taken place, but we've been given a mission to do of making disciples and doing good works. We're supposed to do what we're supposed to do for Him. Now, that's our assignment within our mission. Mission, make disciples, do the good works God has set you aside. Here in our text that I want to look to, in Matthew again, chapter 25, verses 21 and 23, these words are said here, and these words are impactful to me. It says here, both times, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not a long statement. He's not sitting here telling you, "Hey, I'm so glad that you did all this stuff with those talents that I left you. And I'm going to enumerate your accomplishments. I'm going to list them all out and just be proud of you in every which way." It's just a short, simple statement. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." These words are often used at funerals. When people are, when we're doing a funeral service, and somewhere along the line we'll mention someone who's been a faithful worker of the Lord, we'll say, "He's hearing those words now from Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want these words said for me now and also when I walk into heaven. I want God at any moment, and I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in this. I think you're going to join me in this. I think you want to hear right now, if the Master walked through those double doors, came up here and turned around and said, "Well, good. Well done, good and faithful servants." I think we'd like to hear those words. I know I would. I like to know that what I'm doing for Him, He's pleased with. Now, are there things that we do or have done or maybe are leaning toward doing that we really don't want Him to know about? I mean, I wish I could put a pause button on what Jesus is watching, correct it, and then play it back. When I was learning to type, I'm going to date myself. Everybody's saying, "What's a type?" I guess. But anyway, when I was learning to type, do you remember when they came out with that little white ribbon, the piece that you could tear off, and you typed a T and you wanted an R? So you backed it up one space and you put the little white piece in there and you pressed the correct letter you want, or the letter you had, which took the letter off, and then you went back and put your new letter on. Did anybody have to learn to do that? What do we do nowadays? Backspace. Backspace and takes you right off, doesn't it? Or we move to the spot, delete, whatever. So the modern generation's got, I mean, I'm thrilled to death to have this because I made a lot, my paper had a lot of these things on it. And as good as that was, it didn't always take away the mistake. I mean, you could tell a mistake had been made. In Jesus Christ, His blood has covered us so that our mistakes are gone. But I still like to explore those mistakes again, I guess. And I make some of the same ones over and over and over again. I want Him to be able to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But I realize that I'm not always going to be perfect. If I was, I wouldn't need Jesus, would I? Jesus is the one who makes me perfect. Looking at that phrase, good, it comes from a Greek word that's spelled, we would spell it with the English letters, A-G-A-T-H-E, probably pronounce it something like agathe, something like that. What does that word mean, that you're a good person, you're a good servant? What does that mean to you when you hear that? In my brainstorming of it, trying to figure out, there was times when I've heard this phrase used. Yeah, he's a good boy. Yeah, he got into this mischief, but overall he's a good boy. Or, hey, you see that person? That's a good man. That's a good woman. That's I've heard it used that way. I've heard, I got a good job. Yeah, enjoy the job. That's a good employee. We've heard it used so many different ways. That's a good player. That's a good singer. The word good gets used a lot in different ways. I think what he's referring to here, now correct me if I'm wrong, don't do it right now, but correct me afterwards, okay? But I think the word good here means character. These men were assigned a task by the master. And they carried out this task by being good people, by being a good servant, by being someone who represented the character of who they are, represented that character well to others. And he says, you've done a good job. You've been a good person. Now notice he didn't use the word great. You're outstanding, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, all those things we like to have on our evals, you know? No, you're good. You're a good servant. I want to be known as a good servant. I want to be known by my Lord that way. And I think you'd like to be the same. The second word is faithful. It's spelled, you would spell it, use the English letters P-I-S-T-A, and it's pista, something like that is the way it would be pronounced in the Greek. But what does faithful mean to you? You may say, I got a faithful mate. My spouse is faithful. What does that mean? I got employees, they're faithful. What does that mean? My employer promised such and such to me, and he was faithful in getting that done. The word faithful kind of gives the idea of completing a task, carrying it to the end, being counted on, having a no-quit attitude. I'm going to stick to it no matter what. You're trustworthy. Anybody here ever called a service person? You can choose what you want, a plumber, electrician, cable TV, whatever. Anybody ever call one of them and they said, we'll be out there between 2 and 4? What is the reputation of that statement? That means sometime about 4 o'clock they may call you and say, I'm running late. Or more than likely you'll make the phone call about 5 o'clock and they say, oh yeah, we weren't able to get to you today, we'll be there tomorrow. Not a very trustworthy saying, is it? It's like the government saying, I got your best interest at heart. It's not a saying you feel comfortable. So what does it mean to be a faithful servant of Jesus? Jesus, on October 19th of 1975, that Sunday night at the Ocean View, Delaware Church of Christ, right after the evening sermon, I went up the aisle and I told you, I'm committing my life to you for the rest of my life. I'm committing it. It's yours, Lord. So if I'm making that kind of commitment, what is faithfulness? Sticking to it, not quitting. Now, it didn't say I wouldn't make mistakes, but faithful means I'm not turning my back on Jesus. Does anybody here know someone, and I'm pretty sure we all do in some way or another, know someone who said, I'm yours, Jesus, for life, and you can't tell it today? They're not interested in anything that he has to say, anything he's doing. Everybody knows someone, don't they? All right. So, people do walk away. I mean, I've had couples stand right here in front of me at the wedding time, and they pledge their love to each other for, you know, in sickness and in death, and you know, rich or poor, whatever it may be, I'm going to be with by your side every step of the way. You can count on me. And they're not married today. Why? Faithfulness somewhere disappeared. One or the other let the other person down. Maybe both let each other down. I don't know. But they broke the covenant that they had with each other, and they broke the covenant with God. That happens in marriage. It happens, hey, I had this loyal and faithful friend, and today that person doesn't want to talk to me. Well, what happened? Why did the friendship die? Faithfulness is something that takes an effort, doesn't it? You got to stick to it. You got to say, no matter what, I'm not quitting. It's not an easy thing sometimes to walk with Jesus. Sometimes you find yourself in the boat in the storm. Sometimes you find yourself, when you're walking with God, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, somebody's firing up the furnace and you're the one's going to get cooked. Yeah. Sometimes you're out there in the marketplace and next thing you know, you're in the lion's den. Just because you wanted to pray. It's going to happen. What's happening in our culture right now? What's happening in our world right now? We're sending kids off to college who profess to be Christians, but they can't say it really too out loud on some of their campuses because they're going to get, okay, canceled is the best probably word right now. They're going to get really messed over if they start mentioning Jesus or God or these type of things. People, if you have start having conversations, I know it's easy enough for my situation to relate to this. I go somewhere and I never mention that I'm a preacher or whatever. And within a couple minutes, somebody says, oh, aren't you a preacher? Changes the whole flow of the conversation. They don't want to talk about what they were once talking about. They want to talk about things that won't cause me to preach about it the next Sunday, I guess. Okay. Yeah, we've all done it. And I understand that. I mean, I remember going into one house and somebody had a particular drink that they didn't want me to see, and they put it aside. And they knew I saw it. And finally, something came up, said, I'm sorry about that drink. I said, what are you worried about me for? God knows what you're doing. That's more important, isn't it? I mean, my evaluation of you is how as amounts to what? I mean, when we get to heaven, nobody's going to turn to me and say, hey, Ron, what do you think about this guy? Does he get to go to heaven or not? God's not going to have my interest involved in that at all. You know, whatever. If something you think you're doing is wrong, there's some things that we do, we cannot find Scripture to say it's wrong. Okay? But if you feel like it's wrong, then that's probably something you should not do until you and God get it straightened out. Okay? So, I want us to be faithful. Faithful to our commitment. We said, when we got immersed into Jesus, when we made our commitment to be His for life, we said, we're going to walk with you every step of the way, come anything. And again, it's easy to make the statement until you're tested. When I talk with couples, a lot of couples about premarital counseling, when I talk with them, most of the couples like the way the other person looks. I haven't had anybody say yet, well, he's one ugly dude, but I want to marry him. I haven't heard that happen yet. Most of the time, they think the other person looks pretty good. And I can't blame them. They promote, most of the time, they're right. I'm not going to tell them they're wrong, but most of the time, they're right. But I've asked them, look at her. Look at her. Is she a jewel in your eyes? Is she precious to you? Do you think she's just as wonderful as she can be? Is her beauty something you like? Oh, yes, yes. And they tell me all kinds of things about how wonderful it is. I said, now picture this. 6 weeks after you're married, you're in a bad automobile accident. She slams her face into the windshield and she is messed up for life. Do you love this woman enough to stand by her for the rest of her life? If you don't get married now. And whatever may happen, you got to have that kind of commitment. Jesus says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. But sometimes it seems like His idea of rest has got a lot of anxiety to it. You know? But He says He'll give it to us. He's faithful. So remember this, we are to be good and we are to be faithful servants. The last word there is the word I just mentioned, that very last word. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We have not been called to be in charge. He may place us in charge in certain situations, but we've not been called to be the one to tell God what to do. You know, and sometimes in the church we run into that where people think they all have been elected to be the leaders of the church. The elders oversee our work here, But they are nothing more than God's servants. They report to God on everything, and they listen to what their fellow brothers and sisters say. So nobody's here lording over anybody. We've been called to serve. What is your image of serving? When you think, I'm God's servant, what is your image that comes to mind? Yeah, I try to picture that. The most impressive moment of service, and there are many in Jesus' life, but one of the most impressive moments of service in Jesus was when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, moments, hours before He hangs on a cross to die for you and me, before He even does that, He takes a towel and a basin, and He goes to the subjects that are His disciples, and He just washes their feet. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. If you saw any of our national leaders do something like today, look for a photographer somewhere around, because it's a photo op. That's all it is. And I know I'm labeling them, probably judgmental on some of that, but you just don't see that. If I'm in the military, all right, those of you that, if he's got 4 stars, or she's got 4 stars on the shoulder or on the hat, whatever, got 4 stars, and they want to wash your feet, something is gone crazy. Yeah, something's gone crazy, because you just don't see that. You know, and for those who don't, 4 stars, you're talking about a top of the line general, short of the 5 stars in war, and they're talking about the admirals, top of the line, as far as you can go there. So you just don't see them doing that. We've been called to serve, though. And our master says, if you're not sure how to do it, let me show you. And again, it's not easy to be a servant of God. He said in one place, take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. How often do you have to take up the cross? What did he mean by take up the cross? Give me a wooden, 2 pieces of wood. Put them together and I'll pick it up and we'll go somewhere. Is that what he meant? What was the cross representative of? Absolute crucifixion. Absolute sacrifice to God. Nothing held back. That's what the cross represents. So take up your absolute sacrifice daily. Commit your all to God daily and walk with God daily. Be faithful even to the point of death. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful even to the point of death. So, serve. Don't serve when it's convenient or just convenient. Don't serve only when it's difficult. Serve how often? All the time. He'll put you in positions where you're going to have to serve people. You're going to have to do things. Sometimes it's going to make you feel uncomfortable, but you got to do it. So, I'm looking forward to hearing the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But they're only going to happen if I model Jesus' goodness, if I maintain my faithfulness to Him, and if I remember I'm a servant. Now, as a congregation, we have a mission also that's been a secondary mission that's been given to us. Next Sunday, on the 18th, starting on the 18th through the 25th, we have been given the mission of providing a vacation Bible school for as many kids that want to come out here. We have been given that mission. At the end of that week, on the 25th, that Sunday night, will we be able to hear our master say, well done, good and faithful servants. Well done, good and faithful church, full of servants. Will we be able to hear that? So what should you be doing to be able to carry out that mission? What can each of you do? What is it that you can do to accomplish the mission? Not all of you want to teach, and I understand that. The first year I helped with Vacation Bible School at Ocean View, Delaware, they wanted somebody to handle sports. I said, I can do that. So we went down to the park and we had some sports. I learned a lot about the fact that sports is different when you're 18 to 19 and 20 years old than it is when you're 3, 4, 5, and 6 year old. Okay, but that's what I did. Can you watch little kids? Can you teach little kids? Can you assist somebody teaching little kids? Can you help with music? Can you help with decoration? Can you help with cleanup? Can you help with the food? Can you bring things? What can you do? Can you invite other people's kids to come? Can you help other people's kids? Come on, Ron. Get kids here. There was a few years back, one VBS, before the days that everybody had to have a car seat, one guy used to load up his van. And when the van would get here, 12 kids would jump out of the vehicle. They were all about the same age as his particular kids, and they would all jump out. He traveled around several places and picked them up because his kids invited him. Can you do that? What can you do? Can you help in any way possible? Decorate, clean up, whatever it may be. What can you do? After all, this is our mission as a church. And you might say, well, wait a minute, I didn't take this mission on, did I? Well, you can look for a loophole if you want. Look for a cop-out if you want. But right now, the South Mills Church of Christ is scheduled to put on Vacation Bible School starting next Sunday with the kickoff service and close with the closing service on the 25th. And in between, we're going to do our best to touch as many lives for Jesus as we can. Anybody here old like I am and can remember who taught you in VBS? Yeah, can you remember? I can still see Mr. Hummer. I can still see Mrs. Campbell. These memories are getting hard to pull up, by the way. But these things will flash just like a picture. They'll just show up. I can also tell you I don't remember any of those who did not serve. I don't remember any of those who did not contribute. But I can remember some of those. Even 60 years later, 50 years later, I can remember some of them. Do what you can to make this VBS exciting. If you have decided, I can't come out here, I'm not going to bring anybody out here, I'm not going to do a whole lot of that type of stuff, can you be at least a prayer warrior? Every night this week at 6:30 and at 9 o'clock, will you pray that we have an excellent night on that VBS night? And will you pray at the end that we had a good night and thank God for it? Be a prayer warrior at least. If you can't physically come out here or can't do something other than that, would you commit to being prayer warriors? Because God answers prayer. All right. Two men got to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. The third man did not get to hear that. Instead, he got cast out. What he had was taken from him. He did not measure up. He did not get to hear the words good. And he did not get to hear the words faithful. I want to hear those words, and not just at my funeral. I want to hear them every day from Jesus. I want to hear them for our church, and I want to hear them for you. Let's step up and be good and faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ. For the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. And we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer but you haven't joined your fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.